Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
My guest is golf course designer extraordinaire Gil Hands of Hands Golf Course Design, known for his restorations of classic courses, including those hosting major championships. Now, Gil led the recent renovation of Oakmont Country Club, the site of the U.S. Open this past week, and we are now here at another classic historic gem, Baltusrol, also named a National Historic Landmark. Welcome to Talking Golf, Gil Hands.
Thanks, Ann. Appreciate it. Great to be with you.
Well, I tell you, from Oakmont to Baltusrol, you keep some good company.
We're very fortunate. Yeah, it's been a busy couple of weeks, and tomorrow I get to go to one of our new creations in Frisco to talk about the LPGA Championship there. So it's an embarrassment of riches.
How do you fit it all in? You must be a tremendous, multitasker, and you must be very organized.
I just work hard. I've got a good friend who jokingly said, there's two people in the world that I wonder about whether they're cloned. It's you and Michael Strahan. So I'm in good company there.
That's right. Michael, he's busy too, right? Well, before we get into your work on the upper course here at Baltusrol, were you pleased with how Oakmont turned out for the U.S. Open?
Very pleased. Yeah, I think Mike McCormick and the agronomy team there did an amazing job presenting the work. We build it, but it ultimately needs to be presented in a way. And I think the USGA setup was indicative of Oakmont, the way Oakmont's always been challenging and difficult from day one. So I think everything conspired to create a great championship, except then Mother Nature decided to become a big part of the story, which is always going to happen on golf courses. But yeah, I think the fact that J.J. Spaun won, he played consistently all week. He was in the lead at the start and really did an amazing job managing his way through that golf course, which was obviously a stern test. And then to put the exclamation point on the end there with that long putt, I think every championship, you want a great champion, which we have. You want a good test that reflects the quality of the architecture of the golf course. And then you just want that one moment in time so that now whenever anybody sees that putt going in, they're going to reflect back to Oakmont. So I think it was the entire week, aside from the weather, was special.
Well, J.J. Spaun's demeanor, his poise, his calmness, he was one of the few who didn't get emotional, did not get frustrated. Many of the players were very angry with how difficult the course was.
Yeah, I think that happens. And obviously, they've worked their whole lives to have a certain predictable outcome when they strike shots. And sometimes when those shots go astray, they want an outcome that's going to allow them to be successful or display their skill to get back in the holes. And the rough there really was quite a challenge. And it was, I'm a big believer that the game of golf is not, the presentation of courses and the way you play it is not consistent. Right. Occasionally you get bad breaks. Occasionally you get good breaks. And I think that was on full display at the U.S. Open at Oakmont. And I hear people say, well, it's luck. Well, luck's always been a part of the game. And I think the players, the USGA talks about the 15th club between their ears. And architecture is ultimately more sort of a mental perspective. You have to decide, how am I going to attack this hole? Then you have to physically execute it. But if you're not mentally sure of what you're trying to accomplish, or the golf hole doesn't ask you an interesting question for you to solve, then the architecture is not good. And so I think that mental aspect of planning, executing, but then when things go bad, being able to manage that, that's always been a part of the U.S. Open test in particular. And I think that tends to show that this mentally strong players always emerge.
And boy, was J.J. Spaun just so mentally tough. And well, I read where the members at Oakmont told you not to make the course easier when they were directing your work there.
Yeah, it's the only town hall that we've ever been at where I've left there and the message was very clear. It better not be easier when you're done. And it isn't.
Well, it was definitely, it was not easier. But let's move on to Balta's role here. It's just such a historic place. Just being here is just very, very special. Balta's role has hosted 19 major championships, 7 U.S. Opens, 2 U.S. Women's Opens, 2 PGA Championships, and the 2023 KPMG Women's PGA Championship. Does your philosophy, Gil, change a bit when you're working on a course with this much tradition and prestige?
I mean, it changes to be, you know, geared towards that specific golf course, but the philosophy and the methodology of trying to figure out what the original architect did, whether it was Donald Ross, whether it was Fones at Oakmont or Thomas at LACC or Tillinghast here, that stays the same. We're always focused first and foremost on restoring their vision. And what we've found over time is that if we trust that vision, it still relates to the way the game is played today, because everything they did was all about the core values of golf, and core values of architecture have always been the same: strategy, defense, etc. And then we allow the features that they created to provide that defense. Obviously, when these greens were constructed, they rolled a lot slower. And today, from a modern standpoint, they provide a significant challenge and test because of the slope in them and the way they're presented at the certain green speeds. So our belief in trusting Tillinghast as it relates to Balta's role has been consistent, and it's always proven in our minds to be able to present the best possible results.
So talk about refurbishing the lower and then most recently the upper courses here at Balta's role.
Yeah, the lower had been changed more dramatically. You know, as championship views change over time, even back in the 50s and 60s and up to modern days, the architecture sometimes reflects that trend. And so we believe that stripping all of that away and putting it back to Tillinghast, as I just mentioned, is, you know, will still hold the test of time. So the lower was significantly more challenging as it related to kind of pulling away architecture and restoring the original vision of Tillinghast, whereas the upper had been changed significantly less. So we had less work to do as far as from a construction standpoint. We still had to focus on the ability to make them sympathetic to each other, that the greens complexes would look very much the same from one course to the other, because they were built at the same time. Like if Tillinghast had built them 10 years apart, they probably would have been very different. But because he built the dual courses at the same time, they have a consistency from a feature standpoint. The upper is certainly a better piece of land and more predicated. He based the architecture more on the cross slopes of fairways and getting angles and having to utilize slopes to feed balls in different areas, whereas the lower is much flatter. So from a construction standpoint, it was a little more challenging on the upper because we had a lot more, we were more susceptible to washouts and damage from storms. But we had less to do from a footprint standpoint on the upper than we did on the lower, because the work on the lower was more extensive.
So what would be the major changes between, or the major difference between the two?
I think that it's the property. You know, the members always love the upper, and I honestly prefer the upper as well, and I think there's more potential in the upper, and I honestly believe that the upper could host any major championship. I don't know if the infrastructure would accommodate that. Mm-hmm. But I think the golf course in and of itself would be provide the challenge that would be required to for the best players in the world to get on it. I think that the changes on the lower, again, you know, his scale on the lower, Tillinghast scale, was bigger and bolder because I think he had less to work with. And so he felt like he needed to let the architecture speak a little bit more loudly, whereas on the upper, it's...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
It's a little bit more softly into the landscape. So I think that was one of the bigger changes that we experienced as we were looking at preparing the master plan. Construction standpoint, the upper was significantly easier because we'd already done this. Mm. You know, we had the same architecture team here. We had the same superintendent, Greg Boring. We had the same contractor in Total Turf and Tanto Irrigation. So everybody was familiar with the property. It was just a situation where we could ultimately, you know, all work with that cloak of experience versus, you know, sort of the new experience with the lower.
And so what goes into ensuring that the courses here remain true to the founder of Baltusrol, Lewis Keller, his vision, and A.W. Tillinghast's vision?
Well, I think this membership is honestly, they believe and love the traditions of the club just as much as any other club, and maybe even more so. So I would fully expect that the leadership of the club and is excited about what they've accomplished with the restoration. I think there is now, you know, a much bigger knowledge base and certainly more respect for the restoration movement. I think when a lot of the work was being done on the lower, there was less regard for that because, you know, I mean, Robert Trent Jones, when he redid the lower, he knew A.W. Tillinghast. He wasn't some like architectural god. He was a competitor. So I think that there is now a more of a respect for the work that they did. So I think that will certainly be more prevalent in the way the membership looks at the golf course. And I think it's just at the end of the day, we talked about Oakmont being Oakmont. It's Baltusrol being Baltusrol. And I think from that standpoint, that I feel like it's in great hands.
And how does that process work for you as far as research goes and studying the original design?
I mean, one of the great things about these old places is that they've hosted championships from day one. So we've got great archival information. We've got great aerial photographs, maps here. We have the biographers of Tillinghast are all members of Baltusrol, so they were ideally suited to provide us with information that we needed. So I think, you know, whenever we looked for something or needed it, they were more than happy to come up with it and more than happy to provide it for us. So I think there are other clubs that are a little bit more obscure, don't have that history behind them. And so there we have to maybe rely a little bit more on our knowledge or our thought process of what that architect did. But here, which I think is appropriate for Tillinghast, since he was so changeable. I mean, his styles changed over time, some of it based on his personal situation, some of it just based on what the client wanted. But I think from Tillinghast's perspective, the ability to focus in exactly what he did at Baltusrol was key contributor to why this has turned out so well.
So you preserve that history, but yet you have to deal with the advances of equipment technology and the distance issue. So how did that work out?
Yeah, I think as long as we're true to his original vision, like we understand we've got to move tees back and we understand we have to move bunkers downrange and we have to do things to accommodate the modern game. And I think the reason we feel comfortable doing that is because when he built it, he understood it was a championship test. And because of that, we would expect, we haven't obviously talked to him, we would expect that he would believe that in order to protect the golf course, he'd have to make these alterations as well. And so I think we look at his original intent. If we've got a bunker complex down the left side of a hole that was maybe 210 yards when he built it, and it needs now to be 310 yards, if we can, through a combination of moving the tees back and then putting the bunker complex in that 310 range and still put it in the landscape, like you wouldn't want to put it over a ridge or put it in some place that you couldn't see it or appreciate it, then I think we feel comfortable that we want to go in that direction, and it's okay to go in that direction.
So, I mean, I know you were, somebody told me, one of the members told me that you were thinking about one of the holes and called and were a little concerned that it wasn't exactly what you had envisioned, and you're obsessed with this stuff, which you have to be.
Yeah, I am, and I think it's important. I mean, I love what I do, and I also understand the responsibility of being entrusted with places like Baltusrol, but I think about golf courses a lot, and I think a lot, you know, and part of having that team around you, like obviously, like we talked about, you know, Michael Strahan and me, I can't be everywhere at the same time. But I think, you know, I have to be able to trust the guys in the field. Like I said, Kevin Murphy here, Ben Hillard, and my partner, Jim Wagner, we feel like we've got that coverage. And so I think it's that dedication to being involved. Even though everybody thinks we design every golf course in the world, we stick to having only two or three under construction at a time. And I think that allows me, with the graces of my wonderful wife, Tracy, to travel a lot and then ultimately to be there when the decision-making needs to happen.
Well, the list of courses you've refurbished in the New York metropolitan area alone is just so impressive. Obviously, Baltusrol, Essex County Country Club, Plainfield Country Club, Ridgewood Country Club in New York, the Country Club of Rochester, the Creek, Fenway, Fisher's Island Club, Quaker Ridge, the Rockaway Hunting Club, Sleepy Hollow, St. George. I mean, on and on. West Hampton Country Club, close to me. Boy, Gil, do you ever look back on your body of work so far, and you're not that old, and just what do you think when you look back at all these, you know, refurbishments and all the work that you've done just in a pretty short period of time?
Well, yeah, I mean, you look back and you start to think I'm getting old, number one, but then you also, you realize how lucky you are. And having grown up in the New York area and being a Long Island guy and cursed at birth, Mets and Jets fan, it's one of those things where it's always special to be back here. And we were joking. Whenever I'm in town, I listen to the Fan. And because living in Philadelphia now for 30 plus years, I don't get to listen to New York sports all that much, but I do enjoy it. But yeah, it's, we've always tried to not dominate a market. Like, we don't want to be, oh, they're the guys. But when you read a list like that, I start to understand that maybe even though it's been over a 30-year period, we've left our mark in the New York Met area, and that's a good place to leave your mark.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.